What a blessing today has been with all of our music, with the children leading us in our call to worship and our praise and the bells and the praise team. What a blessing it is. There was a bank in Upper State New York who decided to send a flower arrangement and a card with it to another bank, a competitor, that was moving locations. This was a small town, and so it was small town, cordial, being nice. Only there was a mix-up at the florist. The bank that had just moved location received a flower and a card read, "With our deepest sympathy." And the florist realized his mistake, and somewhere somebody at a funeral is getting flowers and a card that reads, "Congratulations on your new location." The women were on their way to the tomb, and they carried with them the despair and devastation of Good Friday. They carried with them the spices and the oil to anoint Jesus' body. They carried with them their grief. If we were in that situation and we were going to offer our condolences to these women, then we probably would send flowers and a card that would read, "With our deepest sympathy." But what the women didn't realize is that death could not stop Jesus. That God was at work within his community. That God was moving among his people. That God and Jesus moved out of the tomb. So I think then it would be perfectly okay, again, if we're in that situation, for us to send some flowers. Of course, Easter lilies, with a card that would read, "Congratulations on your new location." Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we come here to celebrate Christ's new location. Not from this world to the other, but from this world here, that he had the power to overcome death, and that he is risen, and that he is alive, and that is why we come today to celebrate. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read on with me. We're going to hear Matthew's gospel, his story of this resurrection, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women, they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped at his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here we have Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they're on their way to the tomb. This is probably the last place that they wanted to visit. They never expected to receive good news there. And when they get to the tomb, there was this earthquake and the angel that appeared. Earthquake, a sign of God's presence. A symbol saying that God is here and it's going to be okay. And then there were the guards who were afraid. The irony here is that the ones who were to guard the dead became like dead because of their fear, and the one that was dead became alive. And the women were then told to go and tell the others. And so they ran off to tell, and they were filled with joy. And Jesus appeared to them. He said, "Hello," and they fell at his feet. They grabbed a hold of him, and they worshiped him. And he tells them, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and I'll meet him there." There's several truths that I wanted to share with y'all based on Matthew's resurrection account. The first is that first people that Jesus appears to are women. This is interesting, especially in a male-dominated culture. And then he goes and he commissions these women as missionaries, as ministers, as preachers. Go and tell. Go share the good news. And then he asks them to go and tell my brothers. You see, this is important because his brothers, the disciples, many had run away in fear. Some had turned their back on Jesus. Peter denied him 3 times. And so these are words that they needed to hear. These are words that they needed to take to heart so that their relationship could be restored. You're still a part of my family. You're still my brothers. I'm here. It's okay. Folks, we know that God is on the move. Sometimes we don't realize it, but He is on the move all around us, working within our lives. And we've been actually talking about, over the last several weeks, God's movement. Just want to share 2 of those points that we talked about. It began on Ash Wednesday, and we talked about how God is moving to repair our brokenness. I don't know if y'all have realized or noticed, we have lost the art of repair. And yes, repair is an art. I say that because if you look in my tool bag, my main tool is duct tape. If you come to my house right now, I will show you a project that it took a half a roll of duct tape, but it is fine now. But you don't see many repair shops around. It is easier. It is quicker. It is cheaper if something is broken just to throw it away and buy something new. So that's what we do. The old is discarded and we just buy something new. We talked about, though, that we as individuals are broken, that we are in need of repair. But sometimes we feel like some folks are so broken, it's just easier to be discarded. And I know that we all know of those individuals that, oh, Bubba, he's so far gone that there's no help for him. He'll never change. I remember a conversation I had with Joy Sylvester Johnson. She was the director of Roanoke Helping Ministries. It was the men and women and children's homeless shelter up in Roanoke, Virginia. And she said, it's so much easier to teach a child the right path than is to fix a broken adult. With all the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits that they face, it's so hard to repair them. Folks, we may not suffer the same addictions that some people may face if they end up in the drug abuse shelter or the homeless shelter, but we're all broken. And aren't you thankful that our God specializes in repair? He is there to repair the broken. You might feel like we're a lost cause, but God is there to repair our brokenness. Then we pondered the idea of God moving to the cross. Well-known preacher, teacher, scholar Fred Craddock explained it this way in God's Movement to the Cross. He said, you remember ever a situation where as a little boy or little girl, you fell and you skinned your knee. With tears in your eyes, you go and you run to your mom. She scoops you up, sits you in her lap, and she tells you one of the oldest myths that's on this earth. Do you want me to kiss it and make it better? So the child, we have our mother kiss the boo-boo, and we sit in her lap, and pretty soon the tears and the pain go away. There, the mother sits holding the little boy or girl. And we wonder, did the kiss make it well? No. It was those 10 minutes that you spent in your mother's lap, her holding you and rocking you and telling you it's going to be okay. Then as a child, you may have noticed that your mom has some tears in her eyes. Mom, why are you crying? I'm the one that's got a skint knee. Well, son or daughter, when you hurt, I hurt. This movement of God to the cross began on Christmas Day when God came into this world as Jesus, as His Son. And a lot of times we have this idea that we need to better ourselves. In order to reach God, we have to climb these steps or this ladder. But the reality is that God stoops down to the level of the cross. God stoops down to the depths of hell. God stoops down and He picks us up out of our sin. He comes down to our level to be among our lives. And so Craddock shares, what is the cross? It's sitting for a few minutes in the lap of God, who stoops down and picks us up, who hurts because we hurt. We find ourselves here today celebrating the resurrection, celebrating the hope that we have, the victory over death. And I want to leave y'all with just three challenges. First, if you don't know that hope, if you've never made a decision to trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that living hope, then I encourage you to do so today. I'd be happy to pray with you. I invite you down front at the altar. Be happy to talk with you anytime over the next weeks. But I challenge you to consider having Christ come into your life to give you hope. You may be a believer, but you may have found yourself broken. Whatever hurt, habit, or hang-up has got hold of you pretty tight now. God specializes in repairing our brokenness. Our only job to do is to give that brokenness to God, to let go of our control over whatever situation we're in and say, God, I can't do it anymore. I need you to help. If that's where you are today, I encourage you to come down front or at your pew. I'd be happy to pray with you, but give that brokenness to God. Or you may find yourself doing well. You're a believer. Everything's going well in your life right now. Then follow the example of these women who Jesus just commissioned as missionaries. Take this message that we hear today, this message of the resurrection, and go share it with someone who didn't come today to church. All of us know someone within our community, within our church, within our families that need to know that God loves them how they are. They don't have to change. God loves them and that we love them. So whether it's to know Christ, that living hope, or to allow God to repair our brokenness, or to go and to be missionaries today, wherever God has placed on your heart, may we all be challenged to respond. Will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you that you came and changed locations, that you didn't stay dead on the cross, but you conquered death, and that you rose and left us in the empty tomb, Lord. Thank you for appearing to your disciples. We thank you for coming and being a part of our world and our lives, God. Lord, you know where each and every one of us are today. You know what's in our hearts. You know our needs. You know where we're at in our faith journey, Lord. And God, I pray that you will be with each person here. Whatever decision they're making now, Lord, I pray you'll just touch their heart. We thank you, God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the resurrection and that you are our living hope. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is risen from the grave. Amen. Folks, we continue our worship this morning.